Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. Christ heals. He is a healer. Today we are often more comfortable with him as a teacher and spiritual savior, but the Christ of the gospel heals. With the rise of professionalized medicine, the healing ministry of the church received decreased emphasis, but the charismatic movement has begun a renewal of emphasis on Christ the healer in recent decades, with healing masses and healing ministries now common. But one still gets the sense that the church is taking up again in the full the healing ministry of Christ remains in its early stages. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and today we talk with someone who has devoted her life to assisting Christ the healer. Grace Williams is the founder, board president, and executive director of Children of the Immaculate Heart, which strives to serve survivors of human trafficking and open the door to their restoration in Jesus Christ. Grace Williams, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So does Christ heal and restore people who have been the victims of sex trafficking?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, our Lord says clearly, you know, without me, you can do nothing. But at the same time, St. Paul says, right, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So if he can create out of nothing, he can certainly heal without any issue.
Yeah.
I mean, he does these things usually gradually over time. But of course, he can do so instantaneously as well if he so wishes.
So what's the place of like therapy and casework and that kind of thing in modern techniques in that healing process? Are these two different paths?
No, or? Absolutely key. Actually, we just had a training with Father Polchek on same-sex attraction. He was talking very clearly about the difference between nature and grace, right? And so if there's a problem coming from nature, for example, someone who was sexually abused or neglected as a child and a trafficker came along and kind of filled that need, the first place to focus is healing the nature, and then grace can come and work on top of that. But grace doesn't, you know, magically just take over,
right,
you know, nature. And, you know, his example was, I need clean teeth. Oh, Blessed Mother, please give me clean teeth. No, you pick up your toothbrush and you brush your teeth, right?
Right, right.
And so therapy, and particularly trauma-informed types of therapy and modalities and case management are absolutely key parts of what we provide as an organization.
So you, as a Christian woman and a Christian institution involved in healing from really the great sin of our time, I mean, it's horrific that we have this slavery all around us.
Sure.
You find yourself then this is what I want to ask you. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but it strikes me that you're not isolated from the world. You're integrated with all the systems of the world, the government systems, the healing systems.
Yeah.
Can you say something about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, even Pope Francis, about every 2 years, has had some kind of like large meeting gathering of different professionals around the topic of human trafficking. And 1 year he chose as a subject, you know, the importance of faith-based organizations and government organizations working together. And that's absolutely key. We have the privilege of serving on the Victim Services Committee of San Diego's Board of Supervisors, Human Trafficking and CSEC Advisory Council. And that's so important, those relationships, because some people are coming from law enforcement directly, like either a trafficker was arrested, they were, you know, brought out as a victim of crime and now they need help. Or, you know, other organizations that come into contact with these people who may not be law enforcement, but they need to place this person somewhere. So it's important for us to be involved in the whole community. And no one of us can solve this problem by ourselves, right? Like we all have our different parts to play. Right. And, you know, that's kind of the beauty of the relationship between the church, you know, and the world and our role to be the salt, the salt of the earth.
And so now the people who you work with, are their age range? What are we talking about?
Of our clients?
Yes.
Right now, we are serving women over 18 who have children. And so, you know, kids anywhere from baby to 24 years older type of thing. So I think our oldest client's probably in her 50s. We've had a couple. And then the youngest is about 21. And we're also very close to the end of a licensing process for a home for 12 to 17-year-old girls who've been trafficked. So that will, Lord willing, be opening in January.
Wow. 12 to 17 years old. That's actually kind of horrific to hear about, although not surprising. I mean, I think we are aware of these things, but most of us keep a mental protection up. You haven't allowed yourself that kind of, we know this is all around us, but we're mentally kind of, we keep a wall up.
Yeah.
What brought the wall down for you?
You know, actually a priest friend of mine who is very interested and foothold in some way to work for an end to trafficking and to abortion, and saw the connection between them. But I mean, that was the concrete thing. But to your point of putting these walls up and not looking at these things, it was at a particular point in my life where I came into contact with this about 6 years ago. And it was very similar to what Pope Benedict says in his encyclical Spes Salvi, Saved in Hope. He talks about how a society is only a human society when it's able to accept its suffering members, and that a society can only accept its suffering members when the individuals within that society are able to accept suffering in their own lives and understand it, integrate it into their, in their understanding of redemption and their own personality and everything. And so it was at a point where I had been able to do that in my own life, where our Lord put this in my path so that I could do it, because until then I wouldn't have been able to. So I think that's something, really key, for those who work with us. And I would also say a common pattern of those who are interested is people who have that empathy and that compassion and, want to bring our Lord to people in this way.
So are you trying to share the good news with the folks you call your clients, but folks who have, I want to know,
yes.
are you trying to share the good news? Are you trying to make them Catholics? Where do you think the healing comes in there?
Sure. Yes, we are trying to, to bring them to that encounter with Christ, because that's
okay.
That's what will change a person, not because we're trying to impose something on them from the outside or make them be something. That's not at all the point. The point is, what Gaudium et Spes says, right? That Christ fully reveals a man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. John Paul II talks about, right? Without love, man remains a being incomprehensible to himself. And so that's what's at the heart of our mission, right? Is that these women, these girls that we're serving often were sexually abused as small children, experienced some kind of neglect or really, really critical bad mom kind of stuff. These are all sort of common stories that left them very broken, left them not understanding who they were, left them understanding that my value is in what I do or what I don't do. To either not make this person mad at me, or to try to please this person, mm-hmm. either sexually or emotionally or whatever it may be, and then obviously when the trafficker comes in, that kind of explodes in a whole new, it's the same patterns just in a new, whole new dimension. And so what we want to do is to help them understand who they really are, because those patterns won't change until they understand that. You can take someone out of trafficking, and they usually say it takes someone about 7 times to try to get out of their life before they actually do. We have a little bit better stats than that, and I think it's because of this perspective that we take. It's not just we're going to help you by giving you a place to live. Well, you can give someone a place to live, but if you don't change the interior principles, they're going to go back to what they've been doing, right? And so it's really about, that deep, and that comes through them first learning, not really learning, I don't know if that's the right word, but them first beginning to trust us, realize that we have their best interest in mind. We really care about them. We're not going away. We're not just here for a paycheck.
Yeah. Right.
And then that's when the opportunities can come, for discussion and for real change, is just developing those relationships.
So the trafficker, what I'm getting an impression from the way you talk about it, is exploiting hurts that the person has, exploiting insecurities, fears, upsets, shames, all that.
Yeah.
And you're trying to replace that kind of core problem with the idea that you're the beloved child of God.
Absolutely.
And that's what heals.
Yeah.
And Christ does that.
Yeah.
And yet your ministry is called Children of the Immaculate Heart, so you apparently see a role for Mary in
absolutely,
that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Interesting, whatever, from sort of the psychological perspective, not interesting in a bad way, but I have found in my experience of getting to know some of these women, talking with them, a lot of them have pretty serious mother wounds. Either their mom wasn't there, or their mom died, or their mom was very, maybe verbally and psychologically abusive. And Our Lady really wants to be there to show them what a true mother is. And, I'm not a psychologist, but from, my training in this field for this work, so much of our self-identity comes in those really early years, right? In that formative period of learning to relate to another person. And when you don't have that, there are psychological problems and deficiencies, that end up causing boundary issues and things like that later. And so anyways, the heart of Our Lady is there, for them to discover the pure love of a mother who loves them for who they are, not for what they can do, not for any other reason, or who simply doesn't love them, but who really, really, loves them. And I mean, our Lord knew, right? He's fully man, and true God. And Our Lady was preserved from sin because he really had to develop psychologically. He really needed a perfect mother.
Yeah.
It was not on accident or just, something nice to do that God from all eternity decided that this was how he would redeem mankind, right? And so anyways, that's part of what we see her role, with our clients as well. And actually, sorry, on that note, because a lot of our clients are mothers themselves, they can really identify with her. And often, just in thinking of a beautiful conversation I had recently, one of our clients was having a lot of trouble with her son. Her son got in trouble with the law, and she was just completely heartbroken over this. And a lot of times they know their kids are in this because they were in this. And so they, have all these, guilt and all these things coming from that. And we were sitting in our office, and there was a picture of our Lord on the cross and John and Mary at the foot of the cross. And it just struck me in her conversation how much this woman I was speaking to, who's a dear friend, was like Our Lady, just having to watch her son suffer. And there was nothing she could really do about it. And we talked about that, and we both broke down crying because it was just so beautiful. Kind of almost gave me a new insight into Our Lady of Sorrows, just seeing what she freely offered, for our redemption, whereas, others of us go through it more or less freely. But there's just many, many ways in which they can identify with her, I believe.
Wow. And you talked about, I was struck by what you said from Pope Benedict's letter, Spes Salvi.
It's my favorite encyclical.
That's so funny, Grace. Mine too.
It's so good.
I feel like, I say that on the air
sometimes.
I'm
a big nerd that I have a favorite encyclical, but I love it.
Well, look what you're saying about me then. don't call me a nerd, Grace. Yeah, it's that great though.
It's so great.
If you want to know who you are, what your destination is, and how to get there, what a letter. Okay, so this is on your website. It is our prayer that we be Christ's light in the life of these girls. In this case, you were talking about underage girls. So that suggests a role for personal holiness as well. Yeah. And you talked about suffering. And so this is not just a matter of putting Band-Aids on. If you want to be Christ, you're going to have to be holy. What's the role of personal holiness in participating in the healing ministry of Christ?
Yeah, it's pretty important. I mean, when I first started this work, I'll say it this way, my spiritual director told me, the first thing he told me to read was The Soul of the Apostolate by Dom Schottel. And, the whole book can be summarized, in a few words of our Lord and from the vine and the branches, right? Like, I am the vine, you the branches, abide in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. But that is, oftentimes we say in societies, you can't get what you don't have. So this sort of easy way of explaining that, but it's very, very true. I mean, first of all, we can't expect from those we serve anything we're not living ourselves. We can't expect them to practice virtue if we aren't practicing virtue. They're going to see what we're doing before they, believe what we're saying. So that's absolutely, absolutely key. And I really, for me personally, prayer is a huge role in what I do every day. There's no way I could do this without really that profound encounter with Christ through the sacraments, through mental prayer, whatever. That's so, so important. And that's, that's really what feeds the apostolate.
So you see fruits of this? You see people being healed?
Yeah.
You see the healing of Christ?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, it's gradual. And I would also say the length of time often depends, well, not often, it really just simply does depend on the amount of time someone spent in life. So someone who's 21, who was trafficked for 3 months, maybe had a bad family upbringing, but not so bad, can go a lot farther, a lot faster, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I'm thinking of, like, you know, an example of one woman who, you know, sexual abuse started at the age of 5 and then ran away at 15 and then trafficked for 20 years. So you're talking about, like, mm-hmm. 30 years of, like, horrible forms of various forms of sexual abuse, psychological abuse, physical torture, and then 5 years of not really normal, but kind of normal. So yeah. that's going to take a long time, and that's okay. And that's just based on our human nature, right? I mean, your brain creates pathways, the choices that you make form your personality. And so it takes more yeah. time to undo something in a certain way and to build new pathways. But nonetheless, definitely see Christ working. I think of one woman in particular who I think is very holy. She blows my mind and is completely edifying to me, but who has really, we were having a conversation recently where we had both been at a party, Catholic party, with lots of people who don't know anything about our past and who are, you know, sort of typical, like what we think of as like good Catholic families, like lots of kids, homeschooling, whatever, you know. And both of us had the same impression afterwards when we went home, and we spoke about it later, was that we were so grateful for our lives, not in a comparison way of like, oh, someone's better than somebody else or whatever, but it was just like, through the amazing crucifixions that we had been through that were not amazing at the time,
right?
Like, God wrought something that we wouldn't trade anything. And she could say that, having lived through things most of us could never possibly imagine or wow. even want to imagine.
Yeah.
And it was just what brought it up was, you know, someone who was there, we were having a conversation, and there's like similar circumstances in terms of a struggle that the two of them were having, you know, and this one person knowing nothing about our you know, the past of one of our clients. And our client was so much more at peace, so much more abandoned to God's providence in this situation, yes. than was this other person. And like, I was just watching it, and like, when our client, my friend, was like turned away for a minute, this other person was like, she's a saint. And it made me look wow. at her different, because like, wow. I'm with her all the time. I you know, whatever, yeah. we talk about all kinds of things, but just seeing someone else looking at her, not knowing anything, they were aware of the holiness of this person who was so, had so much more confidence in God and so much more sort of interior freedom
yeah.
than they had. And that's really, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. So,
isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Grace. So, okay. So where can people find out about you and support you if they want to?
Yeah. Childrenoftheimmaculateheart.org. The whole thing spelled out. Or Facebook, Children of the Immaculate. It's probably the best ways.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk about healing and Christ the healer with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Grace Williams. We're very, very grateful.
Thank you, Si.
And thank you to all of our listeners. Thanks for being with us. Join us each time on Catholic Answers Focus, and tell your friends. They can go to Catholic.com and find Focus there. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.